Greetings, everyone. Welcome to House Mountain Views and to the Boone series. Boone is an East Tennessee teenager on his own at 16 and facing long odds. His daddy taught him rage and not to trust anybody. His mother taught him to keep his head down and hope nobody notices him. Now they're both gone, and what he knows about making it as an adult is next to nothing. He's basically a decent kid, but he's carrying around so much anger and insecurity that sometimes it's hard for him to do the right thing, even when he can figure out what that is. Pushing Back, Matching Scars, and Keeping Secrets, the three books in the series so far, are all written from Boone's point of view. My name is Jim Hartzell, and I hope you enjoy getting to know Boone as much as I have. Thanks for joining us. Pushing Back, Book 1 in the Boone series by Jim Hartzell. Chapter 5. On Monday, I make sure Hannah has everything she needs in her backpack and walk her down to where the bus turnaround is. "Bye," she says, and gets on the bus. "Bye," I say. When I start back to the house, I only get about halfway there when I see the truck. I'm sure it's Daddy's, but I don't want it to be. I start running up the last hill before our property so I can get a look. There's a grove of cedars on the same side of the road as our place, and I duck into them and work my way up to a spot where I can see. It's him, all right. I get there just as he's getting out of the truck. I know he would expect me and Hannah to be in school and Mama to be at home. He gets out of the truck and heads straight for the back door. He isn't gone more than 2 minutes. He comes out carrying the shotgun in the crook of his arm, and I panic, thinking about the note she left. Had it said where she was? Is he going after her? He doesn't turn toward the truck, though. He goes the opposite way, toward the barn. I see him go in, weaving a little. And then I hear a noise that sounds a lot like a shotgun. For a long minute, I just stand there, staring at the house and the truck and the barn. Then I start back to the road and down to the house, taking my time. I am really afraid of what I'm pretty sure I'm going to find. I go into the house first. The place is a wreck. How could he have done so much damage in just a couple of minutes? Kitchen drawers are yanked out and their contents slung across the counter and the kitchen floor. The couch in the living room is shoved sideways. A picture of Mama and Daddy is on the hall floor, glass shattered. The door to their bedroom is wide open. It's been a long time since I've been in that room. I don't go in, I just look inside. The mattress is crooked, clothes are everywhere, and over on the far wall, a mirror that somebody had put a fist into. Written on the glass in lipstick, still legible across the cracks, are two words: "No more." I didn't even know Mama owned lipstick. If the house was a mess, the barn is much, much worse. I know it is Daddy only because I'd seen him go in. Because his face and a lot of his head is gone, thrown all over the barn. He must have used a slug instead of a shot. I go back into the house and push the couch back into place. Then I sit down on it and start trying to figure out what the hell to do next. Sorrow was what I was supposed to be feeling, I know that. But there are no feelings at all. I look around the living room. I could see the mess in the kitchen from where I was sitting. All this will have to be cleaned up. Or will it? What would be the point? I don't know. Eventually I get up and go back outside, leaving the house for another time. There are no cars or pickups in the yard, no police cars, no sign that anybody heard it, or if they did, thought that it was anything other than a normal sound. It was a normal sound, I think to myself. I don't think about what I'm getting ready to do. I clear out enough space at the front of the barn to make room. There was enough hay on the floor to catch the blood and pieces of Daddy, so the floor cleans up easy. The keys are in his pocket. I get a little blood on my hand getting them out, but not as much as I'm going to. I wipe my hand on my jeans and hope the blood will come out. I like these jeans. The truck is already pointing toward the barn, more or less, so it'll be easy to get it out of sight. I'll worry about what to do with it later. I don't think Daddy owes anything on it, so the bank won't be sending anybody around. The piece of land where Daddy wanted to bury Frankie is behind and east of the barn, up toward the Thompson place, encircled in trees, red buds mostly. Pretty in the spring. That's why Daddy wanted the grave there. Guess he's going to get his wish about that. County be damned. The ground is not too hard. The rain 2 weeks ago was a real soaker, and even though the yard is dried out enough to drive on, the digging is easy. It's not a fancy grave I'm digging. There won't be a headstone, but nobody's going to be visiting except maybe me and Mama and Hannah, and maybe not anybody at all. Daddy's people are over from North Carolina. He hasn't seen or talked about them in years. Where he was working, people come and go all the time, and nobody in town really cared for him. He was always on a hair trigger, and folks don't like that much. I don't know exactly how deep to make it, but I go down about 3 feet. The clay gets hard to deal with about halfway down. I have to switch to the pickaxe. When I finish, there's enough rocks in the pile to cover the body if I carry a few, and this piece of land always has plenty of rocks. I go back into the barn. It's mid-afternoon by now and still plenty of light, but I need this to be done, finished. I look down at what used to be Daddy and say, "You son of a bitch, you coward. What if Mama had been the one to find this?" Suddenly I'm exhausted, but I know I can't stop in the middle of this. There's an old tarp draped over the side of one of the stalls. I spread it out and drag the body and the bloody straw onto it and get it to the grave site and roll it in. Daddy tumbles into the grave and ends up face down. I fight the almost uncontrollable urge to laugh. He doesn't have a face, not anymore. That's when I notice the outline of his wallet. I'd forgotten to go through his pockets. Feeling like a grave robber, I jump down into the hole and toss the wallet up onto the ground. There's nothing in any of his other pockets, and I scramble out, glad to be done with that part. The tarp is useful for hauling hay and other signs of what happened from the barn down to the hole, but I don't want it around anymore. When I have everything I can see, I drag everything out, dump it in the hole, toss the tarp in on top of it all, and weight it down with rocks. Filling in the hole completely wears me out. There's too much dirt, so I mound it up and try to even it out as much as possible. When I finish, I take a step back and think that it needs something to camouflage it. Hay is all I have, so I get some more from the barn, scatter it over the dirt, toss a few rocks on top for good measure. To me, it stands out like a neon sign at night, but I know that nobody comes through here. Daddy made it clear when we moved on to the place how he felt about trespassers. And most people around here just want to mind their own business anyway. I go back to the barn and pull the big door shut. I carry the shotgun back to the house. And remember, as I'm climbing the steps, that I forgot to eject the shell. I had meant to toss it in the hole, too. I'll toss it out into the woods later, I decide, and take the shotgun back to the closet. The house takes a while, mainly because I'm in no hurry anymore. While I'm cleaning, I think about what I just did. No second thoughts, no remorse, just going over the details to make sure I didn't leave anything out. If anybody does come asking for Daddy, which I don't see happening, I can say that when I got back from taking Hannah to the bus, the truck was here, but Daddy was gone. And that won't be a lie. One place I don't go is their bedroom. I can't see you going in there, not yet. Mama hasn't been gone all that long, and she might come back any time, then she would wonder if things were different. So I concentrate on the rest of the house and get everything more or less back the way it was before Hannah and I left for the school bus. There isn't much in the refrigerator, but on one of the cabinet shelves I find a can of black beans and some salsa that Hannah had talked Mama into buying the last trip, even though she almost never bought things like that, said we couldn't afford them. So supper is black beans and salsa with some onions on top. I love onions. There was a big Vidalia that hadn't been cut yet. Monday night there isn't much on TV, but I spend the whole evening watching one show after another. Before I realize that it's midnight, I haven't moved off the couch. I stretch out on the couch, change channels one more time, and I'm asleep before the first commercial. That lasts about an hour before the dreams start. I keep waking up over and over because I'm seeing Daddy lying there with half his head gone, blood everywhere. And then I'm out there digging that grave over and over, and then it starts all over again. So my first night alone in the house didn't go so well. The next morning I wake up and it's almost 10 o'clock. I've been awake so many times during the night that when I finally get up for good, it takes me a minute to get my bearings. When I remember yesterday, I get so queasy I'm afraid I'm going to throw up and there's nothing on my stomach. I sit up and try to settle down and succeed, mostly. There's cold cereal in the pantry and I have 3 or 4 handfuls of that. Make some instant coffee. Carrying the second cup into the living room, I sit down on the couch to try to figure out what to do next. I hate the thought of going through Mama's stuff, but I feel like I need to. I want to just keep going the way I was last week, staying out of Daddy's way and going to school. Fact is, I know I can't do that. Daddy's not coming back ever. Mama's never gone this far before, taking Hannah 100 miles away. So she may be gone for a while, too. Nobody but me to take care of me. Funny how I know I'm supposed to feel bad about Daddy and don't. Mama I miss a little, but who I really miss is Hannah. I think about not seeing her again, and all of a sudden I'm crying. Crying hard, rocking back and forth and wailing like an old woman at a funeral. That goes on for a while, longer than I want it to, but I can't seem to stop. Finally, it sort of wears itself out, and I go into the kitchen and splash water on my face. Then I start trying to clean things up in the house better than I did yesterday. Living room is easy. Just a few things thrown around, and there's not much in there anyway. Kitchen's a little harder, even after what I did yesterday. It takes me the rest of the morning and on into the afternoon to get all the rooms except Mama and Daddy's bedroom fixed up. Hannah's is easy. Guess he didn't go in there. Same with my room. I didn't sleep there last night, so it's pretty much like it was before all this started. I decided to give Mama and Daddy's room one more day. Can't make myself go in there yet. I go back out to the barn to have another look around. It looks like I got everything, which surprises me. I wasn't really thinking yesterday, just doing. Blood spatters on the wall are dry, kind of the same color as the old dirty wood. I think if I tried to clean all that up, it would sort of stand out. So I leave it alone, look around one more time, kick the dirt and hay around so it doesn't look like I cleaned anything up. It's been a few years since anybody's had any cattle or pigs in here, and everything is dusty and old and has that musty smell. I try to look at it like I've never seen it before, and it doesn't look like anybody blew their brains out in here. The thought makes me want to throw up, and I get out of there quick. I think about school for a minute and wonder if I can get away with just not going back. I know a couple of guys who did, but they were 1 year ahead of me. I'll figure that out later. Not going today, that's for sure. I walk around the barn and head over to where I dug Daddy's grave yesterday. It jumps out at me as soon as I get past the trees like a big scar in the earth. I turn around quick and go back the way I came. There's still enough time left this season for some grass to grow there, I say to myself. Maybe I should plant a tree or a bush or something. Kudzu, I think, and that makes me smile a little. Kudzu would cover that up in a heartbeat. Heading for the barn, I get the shovel and go across the road to the fence row. It's always covered this time of year. I follow it along till I get to a natural break in the mass of leaves and vines and dig out a section of roots, trying to keep enough dirt around them. My knife is almost too small to do much good on the vines tangling in the woven wire fence, but I finally get a clump loose and start back to the house. Mr. Thompson goes by in his new Chevy pickup and gives me a look. He doesn't stop, and I don't have to explain why I'm transplanting something most everybody would like to see die all the way back down to the roots and stay that way. Shit, I think I need to be more careful about this kind of stuff. I make it back to the house without anybody else seeing me and take the kudzu out to the burial ground and plant it right in the middle. Putting the shovel back in the barn, I get a bucket and give it a drink of water. I need this stuff to grow and grow quick. It's getting close to sundown now, and I head back to the house for my second night alone. Actually, it feels kind of good, not having anybody to answer to about anything. Wonder how long this will last. As soon as I think that, I know how to get an idea. Part of me still doesn't like the notion of snooping around in Mama's room. But if I knew how much stuff she took with her, it might give me an idea. I almost quit before I even get through the door, but I force myself across the threshold into the room and start looking around. After only a couple of minutes, I switch on the light. The place is an absolute wreck. At first, I think it's going to be hard for me to find out anything, and then I remember that Mama and Daddy each have a suitcase. So did Mama take one suitcase, or both of them? If she packed both of them, that might just about be everything she has, and that might mean she's not coming back. The only place in the bedroom to store those suitcases is under the bed, so I get down on my hands and knees and hold up the quilt that blocks my view. Nothing. Just two rectangles where there's no dust or loose socks or anything. They're both gone, and I think that means so is Mama. The phone rings, and I try to get to it, but I can't get up and get in there in time, so I have no idea who was trying to call. Kurt? Mama? Somebody for Daddy? I stand there in the kitchen looking at the phone like it's going to tell me something. This thing used to give me a list of who had called, back about 25 numbers, but that button hasn't worked in a while. I think about replacing it and then remember I don't have any money besides what Mama left me. And that gets me thinking. What the hell am I going to do about food and electricity? We're on a well and a septic tank, so I don't have to worry about water unless they shut off the power. I realize I don't have any idea how much that kind of thing costs. What is our electric bill? Is it due? Is it past due? I don't even know where to look for that. I don't think I like this part of being on my own much. I hope you enjoyed this installment of the Boone series. The background music you hear is The Wind That Shakes the Barley, played on a Masterworks hammer dulcimer. If you can't wait to find out what happens next, or you want a copy for yourself, the Boone series and all my other books are available on my website, housemountainviews.com. I also encourage you to support any independent bookstores in your area. Stop by and ask for the title you're interested in. If they don't have it, they can probably order it for you. Thanks for spending your time here at House Mountain Views. Y'all take care of yourselves and stay in touch.